this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Hello, this is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm Tricia Antone, and I'm here again today with Dr. Steve LaTulip. And we have a packed show today. A lot of breaking news and a lot of really interesting, really significant developments. The administration, still, the current administration continues to actively encourage people to make fraudulent application for asylum. And I say fraudulent application for asylum on the basis that asylum seekers are supposed to seek asylum in the first country they encounter after escaping the danger that causes them to need asylum, right? Given that's the case, it's crazy for us to be receiving asylum seekers from countries 6 and 8 countries away. So that's the one thing that's fraudulent about this. But now we have President Biden actively seeking to bypass congressional laws and limits on the number of asylum seekers, on the number of immigrants overall, with his flyover program. And I'm sure everybody has heard about the flyover program. Texas attempted to challenge that. They filed suit, and on Friday, a federal judge told Texas it has no standing to sue, that Texas failed to show injury in the program being done by the president to fly over. So, you know, it's kind of an incredible development that we can't even fight the president when he is actively sidestepping congressionally passed laws. Dr. Stephen Tulip, well, what do you think about this, and how crazy is this getting now?
You know, Tricia, I'm really ticked off about this because this whole fake asylum seeking thing, it goes to the real core issue of the fact that the Biden administration, that old regime that continues to seek to destroy us, they absolutely have zero regard for the Constitution. And here we are trying to declare what they're doing wrong and making a judgment that is based on the Constitution, you know, the very set of laws that they are completely ignoring. I mean, they are telling us in no uncertain terms that they completely disregard the Constitution and they don't play by those rules. And so how do we fight that? Where do we go from?
Exactly. What's so frustrating about it is that although they are openly and overtly sidestepping congressionally passed laws on the limits, we're having up to 30,000 immigrants per month flown into this country, and so, you know, those flyovers aren't counted among the immigrants that go to that limit. So it's an obvious sidestep of law, and yet even though they're allowed to do that, we're held to a standard that goes right down to the nitty gritty. Oh, they lack standing because they failed to show specific quantifiable injury that Texas sustained, that's apparently unique in the nation. So apparently what has to happen in order to grant standing to this suit is a bunch of states, all of the states that are harmed, coming together. I don't know what the bar is going to be to cause that to have standing. It's kind of like when the election was challenged and all of those suits, they never adjudicated them on their merits. They just threw them out on the basis of standing and because they claimed that this state couldn't show a unique harm that was being suffered. So it's incredible that we can't grant standing on the basis that the laws have to be followed, otherwise the whole country gets hurt.
Right. And we know that the whole country is getting hurt. It's so frustrating that they are using this false argument to be able to violate the law. And there's nothing we can do about it, as you say. And that's why exactly, Tricia, I've called this a coup in progress, because it truly is. I mean, when you look at the crossings at the border, or whether they're flying them in, you know, essentially evading the border, flying them right into our cities, it's an illegal entry. They are not coming into a port of entry. There's no screening, no vetting, no control over who is coming in. And the problems, the injury, the harm to America is so readily obvious in every way, isn't it? I mean, we got criminals. We see people being murdered, Americans being murdered. We see drugs killing off our younger population. We see child trafficking, and disease is a real problem coming into our country. We've got the economic burden. And of course, what it really is, and it is escalating, and I knew it would happen, this is another form of election interference. They must deprive us of an honest election.
Mm-hmm. I think those are the feelings of almost all Americans that look at this. It's not a political issue either. When you're feeling invaded, you don't vote Democrat. Yes, I want to feel invaded, and Republican, no, I don't want to. I mean, that's not a partisan issue. When we are feeling invaded, then we unify against that. Here's the sticky wicket though, Dr. Steve. Assuming that they are able to actually codify this or set it up as an actual program within the executive, which is what they've done. There's an actual program here to get this done. The people who are being invited and then facilitated and then put on planes by the administration, it's kind of tough to call them illegal immigrants. It's kind of tough to say, oh, you broke in through the back door, isn't it?
Well, in a loose legal sense, you know, you can make the argument that, well, we have these laws in place and our government is ignoring the law. But then, you know, from all these illegals coming in, from their perspective, they're saying, look, we are being invited, we're being welcomed, we're given this great welcoming package to come into the country. And, you know, if I was in their shoes and in their situation where they're escaping tyranny from other countries, hey, I'd probably jump at the chance. I mean, to be completely honest, it doesn't make it right. It's definitely violating every law of our country. It destroys American sovereignty. But mm-hmm. from their perspective, sure, they're saying, well, why wouldn't we come? They're opening their arms to us, saying, come on in, we'll protect you, we'll help you, process you, pay you, we'll give you whatever you want at mm-hmm. the expense of American citizens, unfortunately. And hey, well, that's your problem. You know, if I was an illegal coming in, I'd say, look, I don't care. It's if I have a chance at improving my life, I am going to come. And of course, we know why the puppet regime is doing this, because they want a change in the electoral college. They want more votes, and they believe fully they can get it because, again, they must ignore the Constitution so that they will allow the changes in the census to end up in their favor, you know,
allocate more representation to those states that took in more illegal immigrants. But yeah, exactly. Fuzzying up the line between illegal and legal, from the perspective of the person who gets invited in, who gets handed a plane ticket, and then who gets handed a debit card for $10,000, and then who gets handed any number of other benefits, including medical and food stamps and et cetera.
Right.
From that person's perspective, I did nothing wrong. I was invited. I was treated like a rock star. And I responded to that rationally. Well, I don't blame the individual person who avails themselves of that illicit opportunity. I blame the administration. And I think historians will look back at this and they will say, yeah, this wasn't a war between two people, one invading another. This was a war between the basically two pieces of the government split, got schizophrenic. And so, yeah, the government turned on the people.
Yeah, you know, Tricia, I'm you got me thinking. When you consider all of the illegals coming in, I don't have an answer to this, and so I'm going to ask you: do you have any idea whatsoever of exactly how many of those single young males, you know, military age men, are crossing the border? Because the reason I ask the question is, what I really wonder is, are all this group of the illegals the ones who are potential enemies, are they being organized, or are they being told, okay, we're going to give you all these benefits, but here's what we're going to expect of you, and that is at the right time turning them against us to complete the overthrow of America, so that
I wonder if it's that overt or if it takes more the form, and I think this is more likely. We know that these bad actors and these people who will be basically sleeper cells for terrorist organizations and for, you know, the gangs and so forth, we know that those people are among those who, because they're going to intersperse themselves among other immigrants. And so they are obviously there. So if they drop things like, and they have dropped the requirement that you bring ID with you to the border when you present yourself. They have dropped that. And then they hand them this app that's created by the State Department and allows them to contrive an ID for themselves. And it's not terribly verifiable at all. Well, that would be one thing. But then we used to have biometrics as well. So they had to fingerprint or facial recognition, some kind of biometrics that would help substantiate the identification that they either presented there or contrived at the time. Well, we've dropped that as well. So the fact that they are purposely lowering the gate and purposely, let's drain the moat, let's make sure there are no protections in place for the United States. That's, I think, what is overtly hostile and being done by our administration. I don't know that they are actually actively recruiting people who want to harm the United States. I don't think they're actively doing that, but I know that they know that those people are out there and that they are trying to get in and they want to do harm to the United States. So they also know that if you drop all the security measures, that you are going to end up bringing those people in. And that part, I will credit them with doing that on purpose.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that, because we've seen criminals show up, identify themselves virtually as criminals, and say, you know, things like, if you don't know who we are, for one thing, you're pretty stupid, but you'll find out soon enough. And then these people disappear, and we don't hear of them disappearing out of the country. They escape into the country somewhere and embed. And that could go either way. And you know, when you talk about doing harm to our country, I think our government is very opportunistic. I think that they are hurting us in so many different ways. Yeah, I mean, with just the economic burden of them funding these people, that's coming from our tax dollars. You look at all the money they're sending to Ukraine to support that that war. That comes from our tax dollars. So the economic burden is contributing to the collapse of America. And so is all the drugs that's coming across our border. The criminals are creating havoc everywhere. America is gradually becoming not a nice place to live. And we are seeing the wear and tear as we go into all these cities, particularly the blue cities and the blue states. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to visit any one of them right now.
Yeah, and I think that so many people are feeling that way, and even as the Democrat voting public gets on board with the idea that no unlimited egress by all these people is not what we want, even as they come around to our thinking, and I think they are, it can be too late to
who is the they that you're referring to, Tricia?
In when I said what
With regard to the votes, because, you know, when you look at the
Democrat
Bill
vote.
Hagerty,
I see what you're chatting. The Democrat voters in some of these sanctuary cities like New York and San Francisco, you're seeing that some of the people there are actively and loudly complaining about the conditions that have been created by their sanctuary status.
Right. They're even wanting to deny it. They're asking for more help. But I mean, look what happened with Senator Bill Hagerty, who proposed this amendment to prevent illegals from being counted in the census. I mean, every single Democrat opposed this bill. They are saying, look, we are complicit in this invasion, in this overthrow of our free republic. They want to get rid of it.
And notice this, though. Senator Bill Hagerty is part of what body? The federal Congress, right? And so every single Democrat that voted against it is part of the federal Congress. So the people that I was referring to who are actively now and vocally complaining about the conditions created by this crazy policy are not the same as the people who are in Congress voting down Senator Hagerty, Senator Hagerty's bill. They're not the same people.
Right. But the mystery of this all is that those people who did vote down the bill, all those Democrats in the Senate, in the federal government, I mean, they live in America too, Tricia, right? This land is my land. This land is your land. Don't they? It's like they can't see past their nose. I mean, they are ruining
their own country. They are insulated from the conditions they create. That, I think, is the main factor right there. A, they're insulated in terms of their lifestyle. They are not hurting as a result of the policies and the conditions they create in the rest of the country. And B, this is the frightening part, they no longer fear the electoral, the voting public. They no longer feel answerable to their constituents.
And why is that? Let's drive that point home, Tricia. Why is that they no longer even respect their constituents in any way?
That is a perfect question. And we're going to take a minute break here. But when we come back, we're going to dive into that. And we've got a couple of stories that are related to that. We'll be right back after this.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Hey, we're back. Get all of the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news you need, always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. We were just talking, Steve, about why is it that the Democrats in Congress don't feel answerable to the voting public? And I believe that the reason they don't is because they know they can manipulate the election. And even if the election, the things that they do to achieve that manipulated outcome are, will find their way into the truth eventually. Eventually, the truth always comes out. Trump once said, truth is a force of nature. And I think he's absolutely right. Unfortunately, though, the lies told and the manipulation and the deceit does a lot of damage in real time. And in real time is where elections occur. So why don't they fear the voting public? They know that they can pull shenanigans. And so that, I think, is why there's a real difference between the way sometime Democrat voters on the ground may feel and congressional Republic or congressional Democrats. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd go even further than what you said. Yeah, they can manipulate elections. But you know what? I think that they believe in their hearts that the elections are gone. And for their ideology to become the new reality, they have to maintain and establish as a fact that elections are gone. So I agree that they absolutely have no respect for constituents because the constituents don't matter. And that's exactly the way it is in any nation that is terrorized by a dictatorship, an oligarchy, or whatever you have, when the common people are suppressed and oppressed until they finally rise up. And we certainly aren't there yet in this country, but things are headed in that direction.
Well, and I think a big part of the solution, too, is to close that gap between the time that they're able to manipulate and tell lies and do these things, and the time the truth comes out. When we unleash the truth, then and we can do so in real time, then people can respond to it in real time. So we have a couple of important stories that have broken out here about the hidden J6 committee interview transcripts. They have actively concealed this transcript of an interview that took place that corroborated previous testimony given by Mark Meadows, who was then chief of staff. And he had said that Trump had offered up to 10,000 National Guard troops and that was a very real offer. Of course, the president can't just deploy 10,000 National Guard troops into Washington, D.C. It has to be on invitation or on request from the municipality. And so that offer was made to then DC mayor, and she turned it down. Well, this testimony that they suppressed corroborated Meadows' story. And that testimony was from Anthony Ornato, who was the deputy chief of staff, and he overheard that entire conversation. So he was obviously somebody who was privy to that information. So that is now coming out. I guess that had been previously reported by the pundit. What is that paper called?
The Gateway Pundit.
The Gateway, yeah. And that was last year. And Molly Hemingway has recently come out with a story that not only fleshed that out, but confirmed the key elements to that story. So now that's gaining traction. But if it takes a year for a story to come out to gain traction and get into the public realm and be part of the public discussion, that's obviously too long to have an impact in real time, isn't it?
That's right. It'll be too late. And you know, I think that the average American, I'm hoping, maybe I'm wrong in this, but I always contend that the majority, the silent majority who are becoming more vocal, they know what the January 6th debacle was all about. It was not an insurrection. It was fake. It was put on by Nancy Pelosi, by the FBI. And the real concerning thing to me, Tricia, is that they are still not held accountable. They're, despite all the exposure, all the footage coming out, everything that we see, and of course, they probably won't show that on any mainstream legacy media platform, but still, enough people have to be talking about it and exposing it. It's there for people to know if they really want to know the truth. But I think that it's not likely to do any good. And that just goes back to me saying all the time, we're really good at complaining and making a lot of noise, but the left continues to just push forward their agenda, expecting us to make the noise, but it makes no difference because we don't actually do anything to stop them. And that's the big question of what can we do? What is within our power to stop them? Aside, you know, from, you know, the actually implementing the Second Amendment, which was for exactly for such a scenario as we now face.
What do you mean implementing the Second Amendment? I'm not with you there.
You're not with me in the sense of what?
I missed how, like 29 states have recently. The 29th state got on board with constitutional carry. So this is moving in the right direction. Would you agree with me on that?
Right, but nobody wants a war. We don't want to go to war. We don't want bullets flying.
No, of course not, but at the same time, people aren't.
Right, but how do we do this? How do we actually take back our country because it is being ripped from our hands right now, and it is affecting us all.
As the truth comes out about what they did in the 2020 election and what they have done since to try and interfere with this election, with this lawfare campaign, the laws or the lies about the case in Georgia are also coming out, and it matters. Not because we want to be backward facing and look back at what happened in the past and try to get revenge or anything. That the information that we're learning about what they've done needs to inform our defenses against this.
And it needs to equip us in such a way that we say, okay, we are not going to let this happen again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what they did in Georgia, just in case anybody isn't aware of this, Trump made a phone call to Georgia's Secretary of State, and he had hired his own auditor because what he suspected and what later turned out to be true, over 68,000 votes, ballots were wrongfully counted in that election and should have been disqualified on the basis that they came from voters who no longer lived in either the county in which the vote was cast or in the state at all. So that was 68,000 voters. And I think the Biden claimed victory in there by like 12,000. So, I mean, had they properly disqualified ballots from people who no longer lived where they claimed to have lived, then that alone would have done it. At any rate, so Trump's auditor and Trump, they made this telephone call to Georgia Secretary of State and asked them to withhold certification until after they had resolved these very serious questions that undermined faith in their own electoral process. And that was the nature of the call. Well, the call was illicitly taped. It wasn't supposed to be taped because Florida has a law that says you have to have mutual consent in order to tape a telephone call. And this call was being taped by somebody who was in Florida. So that person was subject to Florida law. So this tape shouldn't have been made. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that they later edited the tape for specific effect, cutting out stuff that failed to follow the narrative and leaving stuff in. And then what they told people is, Trump told us that we have to go back through and find me the votes or something. So then they threw out the old tape, the original tape. They threw out the original. I guess the Secretary of State thought it was trashed. In fact, it was later found on a computer operated by the Deputy Secretary of State. So that was interesting. But so that has been recovered. And what it shows is that the edited version obviously was fraudulent, but then they ran out with the edited version and handed it to WAPO with their storyline. And WAPO, or Washington Post, was more than happy to run with that. So knowing what we know about the deceit of which they're capable, that is, has to inform our, number one, our suspicion of everything that comes out that is against one party. You know, I think that everything that they promulgate about Trump has some false, you know, is false. And we have to just know that right off the top. I think that if they lose their credibility as a result of having people find out about their lies, then that's a huge step in the right direction.
It is. It is winning over the average American citizen. And I think that is pretty clear. Tricia, what do you think? You know, when you look at the election, because the election is on everybody's mind, and it should be, because it is the ultimate issue that is going to decide America's fate right now, however that turns out. When you look at all of the aspects of election fraud, the dishonesty in the whole system, what do you think is the biggest threat that is going to possibly or potentially cause a wrong election to take place, another heist of the 2024 election?
It's hard for me to say whether the biggest threat is treating ballots like pizza coupons, this indiscriminate mailing of ballots to really bad, outdated, and polluted lists. That's one huge vulnerability. And the other is what we saw in the counting of the last election. The counting, what is this fractional counts? How does that work? Yeah, so they're incorporating a modeling sort of routine in the counts. And I think digital counting at all causes that to be the next big vulnerability. If data mining gurus are the ones that basically are the ones that have dominion here over the counting process, then you can't trust it. You just can't trust it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what I would say. I see that as our greatest vulnerability. As long as there is electronic voting machines that can be manipulated. And we saw how they were manipulated very clearly through the last election. How do we control that? Because they can tweak the numbers any way they want just to get that, you know, real narrow margin to call it a victory. And then of course, you know, by the time you prove all the corruption that we know now took place, I mean, look at how far along we are. We're coming up on the next election, and therefore they have their way. And somehow we got to overcome this.
Well, and that is exactly right. And unless we have in-person paper balloting and hand counts, going back to what we always had before, which is those two things, as soon as we turned it into a digital product, then it came under the purview, under the exclusive purview of people who are tech geniuses here. And having offloaded it to them, then of course you've got a situation where it can never be trusted, whether it goes this way or whether it goes that way. It's never going to be trusted again if it's not something to which all people have access. If cameras aren't trained on tables who are hand counting, if that's not what's going on, if individual precincts aren't turning their results over to the county, who's turning their results over to the state, and all of those results haven't been hand counted in a manner that allows the public to watch, then it will never be trusted again. And that is the great danger of what they've done here. They didn't just steal an election. They stole our capacity for trust in the government seated by election. And that is the most dangerous thing you can possibly do.
It is. It is. It's our biggest concern. But hopefully, you know, just raising awareness is going to help us to stop some percentage of it. I'll just be very curious to see how this turns out, because I don't think to date we have any plan B. I mean, if the election is thrown again, where does that leave us as a country? You know, nobody wants to go there, and it's understandable.
And I really don't know how we get there. It's obvious that when Democrats are in power, they look at any law that doesn't favor them and they find a sidestep around it. And this bit where they are going to win a whole bunch of illicit ads, basically, or illegitimate ads to their representation in states where they've taken on all of these illegals. It basically would guarantee power to the Democrats for the foreseeable future. And since they are that corrupt and anti-democratic, then yeah, it would spell the end of our republic entirely. So yeah, that they can't, we can't allow that to happen. We just can't allow that to happen.
Right. It is truly a fight for our Constitution. There's no doubt about that. When we see the people who are being swayed, finally hearing the truth and being swayed to believe, you know what, we are truly in a fight for our country, and then they speak up, look what happens. Now we're back into getting more censorship, and it's the censorship that happens in third world communist countries. I think we're seeing a great example of that with the New York firefighters, right?
We absolutely are. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, let's talk about that case because that is perfectly third world.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Lean. Pure. With premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
And we're back. Be sure to visit AmericaOutloud.shop, and there you'll find the greatest health resources and product innovations that will enhance your life. Use the code OUTLOUD to get any special discounts that are offered there. Steve, tell us, what did happen with the New York firefighters recently?
Well, it was pretty sad and actually pretty exciting in both ways because, well, they were just having a department promotion ceremony. And you know how those things go. And apparently one of the persons being promoted was into a position, a higher position, was, I don't know, if a friend or something like that. It was a Black woman. The first time a Black woman was introduced into this position. I forget exactly what that position was, but the people there, the firefighters and the staff, they just flat out booed Letitia James. They were disgusted with her, and they ended up cheering Donald Trump. Now, that didn't go over very well because the commissioner for the New York Fire Department, Laura Cavanaugh, she was not pleased at all with it. And she said she is going after these people who are guilty, in her mind, of free speech. And she's claiming, through the Bureau of Investigation and Trials, they plan to root out every single one of them. And she's obviously claiming they did something terribly wrong, and she needs to re-educate them as to why their voice is unacceptable in such a setting. And I think there's differences of opinion. I don't know what yours is, Tricia, on that, because, you know, there were certain things in the military that I could and could not do if I was in uniform, okay, as a military member. Because I'm representing the government. And I think that's the argument that they're going to use. And this is going to be the root of their re-education to tell them, look, when you're acting in a professional capacity, there are certain things you can't do. But there's a big problem with that.
Yeah, I think that is completely inconsistent with the attitude of basically the same side of things, the lefties. They were completely okay with NFL players in uniform representing the BLM point of view as if it were NFL's point of view and doing that on the job on national television while in uniform. They're completely okay with that, and they called that an expression of free speech.
Right, exactly. And you said, they're in uniform, athletes who bend a knee to the woke left ideology. That's okay. You know, they can wear their politics on their jerseys any way they want. They can sing a Black national anthem, and they can make all kinds of ugly political comments in uniform and then get away with it.
What's wrong about that? What's actually wrong about that is that it denies both the NFL and it denies the individual sports teams who are owned by individual owners a right to say, no, this isn't our view. These people have built a brand over many decades, right? You build this brand over many decades, and they used to align that brand with patriotic themes and flyovers and flags and such like this, right? So they purposely built a brand that was patriotic and unifying because that was consistent with the goal of the NFL. Well, now all of that is stripped away by the BLM ideology being forced down everybody's throat in the context of a game. And so that is specifically what's wrong with it, is that it's not that we want to deny this person his right to free speech, take off your uniform and go do that on your own time. I get that. But it's not consistently, they don't consistently embrace that. So I am with anyone who says our organization has a right to maintain its integrity in terms of what we stand for as an organization. And so when you are wearing the uniform or driving a branded vehicle or whatever it is you're doing that carries our brand with you, you are entrusted with the brand. So take your politics out of it while you're wearing the brand.
Okay, but let's be fair now. Laura Cavanaugh, the commissioner, is saying exactly what you're saying. Look, you're wearing the uniform. That demands a certain demeanor, a certain amount of respectability and honor that goes with that. However, take it further. Look at Biden's State of the Union address, right? I think that a lot of people in America were disgusted with him because here was the puppet president of the United States, and he stood up there and booed, if you will, two-thirds of the U.S. population, the citizens. He booed President Trump. He badmouthed the Supreme Court justices who were sitting there in the front row. I mean, talk about...
It was completely unbecoming. It was completely unbecoming. I totally agree. And that said, you know, that's what I'm saying is that if we have a uniform, if we all subscribe to the same thing that, yes, people have a right to their opinions, and yes, organizations have a right to build a brand and to protect the brand. If we say that, then we can't say, oh, well, these people over here are completely exempt from all of that, and these people over here are bound by that. So what I'm criticizing here is the inconsistency with which they say they subscribe to this whole organizational integrity thing.
Right. I mean, Letitia James herself, who was not real pleased with the booing, you know, look at what she did. Now, of course, she doesn't have a uniform per se, but she, acting as an attorney general, how many times did she overtly state that she was out to get Trump? I mean, many, many times, and in a lot of different ways while she was actually in her official working capacity as the attorney general. So, you know, the hypocrisy is just over the top. And then if you want to go even a little further, let's take it to even kind of where you would expect a certain demeanor to be honored above all, and that is with the military members in uniform. Well, look at what we have now. We got these military sexual perverts, men dressed up as women, long hair, this and that. Come on, that are they not making a political statement by all of this, and it's allowed? It's just disgusting. It's pure hypocrisy.
Well, and so for the whole tranny thing to have become a political thing, a person suffering a psychiatric disorder, we don't say that people have a right to schizophrenia. We don't say that people have a right to criminal insanity or any kind of maniacal impulse. It's not a right to have a psychiatric disorder. It's supposed to be something where, yes, we should treat them and we should treat people
well,
with
now,
compassion,
you know,
and kindness.
The new thinking, though, Tricia, says that it's not a psychiatric disorder. It's the new normal. And now it's acceptable. It's completely acceptable. Oh, we made a mistake. Well, that's just pure nonsense. And I would take it even one step further. Okay, let's not call it a psychiatric disorder because it might suggest you can't help yourself. I would just call it sin. It is just wrong. It is evil. It goes against the standard of America. And I think we have a lot of good backing to support this with regard to this whole New York firefighter case. Alan Dershowitz, for example, constitutional criminal law attorney, he's really hammering these people who are hunting down the firefighters and those other employees. He's saying, look, they have a right to boo Letitia James. They have every constitutional right in the world to do this. But again, it's back to the problem like, hey, we don't follow the Constitution. We are going to educate them and show them where they were wrong because they booed Letitia James and because they shouted in favor of Trump.
Well, and I think part of, and I'm going to just play devil's advocate for a minute. Part of what they did was to attempt to shout down this speech being given by Letitia James. So she was trying to make a presentation. She was trying to speak at an event, and they shouted it down with their Trump chants. And I get what they were doing. I totally get what they were doing.
Well, why don't you spell it out for our listeners?
What do you mean?
Why were they trying to drown her out? What was the message that they were trying to convey, and what message were they trying to shout out?
They were trying to condemn her treatment of Trump. She had basically, in the name of the people, she had brought ridiculous claims against Trump. So because of how she had abused her office for political purpose, they were incensed that she had basically been invited to come speak at this event. And what's particularly galling about it is that this is their event. This was theirs. This didn't belong to her. And so she came as, I guess, an invited speaker, but it was appalling to them. And so they were trying to shout her down to express their displeasure at her even being here. And so I get that. On the other hand, it's kind of like, I'm not a fan of shouting down anybody. You know, I think the answer to free speech is, or a speech you don't like, is always more speech. And so shouting down, when we take that tactic, we resemble these monkeys at universities who try to shout down conservative speakers when they come there. And I don't agree with that being deployed as the tactic. I'm sorry that they tried to shout down the speech. I would have loved if they had protested it, but then allowed the speech to continue, because that would have been more in keeping with the way Americans see things, is that we allow free speech. That's what we do. So yeah. This question of, do organizations have a right to basically enforce and encourage ideological conformity among themselves and as an organization? Do they have that right? And Florida challenged that right in a way that I think a lot of conservatives agreed with at first, you know, because Florida passed a anti-woke, it was called an anti-woke law. What it was a law that said you can't indoctrinate the DEI thing, the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology, as a condition of employment. And that was immediately challenged. And now it has been declared unconstitutional. The 11th Circuit recently found it unconstitutional that Florida would ban this sort of ideological indoctrination of employees as a condition of employment. And so, you know, my knee-jerk reaction is, oh, no, you know, they're allowing DEI indoctrination. But my other question on this is, okay, does that not also protect the Catholic Church, for instance, Catholic universities? Can they not require then, under this ruling, can they not require their own professors and staff to also be, to not, at least not speak, promote abortion on the campus? If there wants to be a pro-choice group on the campus, can they not say, no, you can't be here because our organization is pro-life? So what do you think about that?
First of all, I think that we need to, when you say DEI, it's almost like a euphemism. You know, we need to define DEI for what it really is. And what it really is true, genuine racism in these employment practices. And what it has done is created havoc everywhere. It has resulted in second-rate performance. You look at the airlines, the problems they're having with the maintenance of the aircraft. You look at the military standards, because we have to have these homosexuals who are hormone treated. You know, they're losing muscle mass, they're gaining weight. They cannot abide by the rigorous standards of a military that would actually be necessary to defend a nation. And so it goes in politics. And name any profession or trade. Can you name one that has actually benefited from DEI?
I'm totally with you that the DEI, when it finds itself, when diversity, equity, inclusion, which is, you're right, it's flat out racial Marxism is what it is. And,
yes.
And but of course, it's not just race anymore. It's also a gender identity and all of this. So it's a factional Marxism. It's a reappropriation of Marxist ideology, but instead of economic classes now, it's all different kinds of factions.
It is, but it has a unifying thread. And the unifying thread is that it is a form of entitlement that is undeserved. It has no merit, and there's an absence of true quality control in any job or profession that actually endorses diversity, equity, and inclusion, because it doesn't
do anything. I agree, because the first qualification becomes factional membership. So I totally agree with you that once it is codified, if it becomes part of practice and the rules and the laws and so forth, then it becomes a racist exercise. The question, though, before the court was, can an organization demand that somebody take this instruction and learn this ideology as a condition of employment? And it wasn't when the court answers that, it wasn't just, oh, should DEI be allowed or not? It's, can an organization require ideological training as a condition of employment? And so when the question is understood that way, now it's not about, can the organization deploy policies that are racist in nature? And that, I think, is a different question. They didn't answer that question. They answered the question, can the organization require this training and as a condition of employment? And I think when answered that way, it protects the ideological integrity, and all organizations have that. All organizations have a stated purpose and a goal and a unifying set of principles. Can organizations have those, and can they train prospective employees in what they are? And I think that in some ways that decision should be used to actively and aggressively safeguard institutions and organizations on the right. That's what I'm saying about it.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to go to Supreme Court, this case?
I think it probably will. But I hope that is how it's handled at the Supreme Court, is as different from the policies. Organizations should not have a right to implement racist or factional preference policies, and because the court has already ruled that that's the case. But right, should organizations have a right to create a brand that represents certain principles and unifying principles and so forth like this, then I think that we need to safeguard that right of organizations to exist. Look what happened to the Boy Scouts when it's no longer about boys. When it was no longer about promulgating masculine virtue, basically. That's what Boy Scouts used to be. It was about promulgating the elements of masculine virtue from one generation to the next. And when they destroyed that, and they did it on purpose and caused the Boy Scouts not to even be about boys, then they destroyed the organization. Now it's just a glorified babysitting service. So organizations that lose their unifying and defining principles dissolve. We know that that is true. And that is what they're trying to do with America, too. They are trying to undermine the unifying principles and our unifying cause. And when or if they do that, we will dissolve. And I think that we are dissolving in direct proportion to our lack of subscription to what used to unify us.
Yeah, so that's where we're headed. This is the state of America right now that we are facing, and it's not painting a pretty picture, I'll say that. What are we going to do about it? That's the question.
Well, and I think the only thing that we really can do about it at this point is to unleash the truth.